Welcome to my first ever podcast. I am Mrs. Carrie Shannon, a cyber educator. I teach high school special education. I also have two children that are cyber students, one who is twice exceptional, meaning he is gifted and advanced and also has a learning disability, and he goes to a school that is half brick and mortar and half cyber. When I first started out my path to become a teacher, I was very lucky to be able to have an internship of sorts with the early intervention program in the county that I lived in. And I was able to get an emergency certification and actively teach while I was getting my full certification, finishing up my courses. That allowed me to take things that I learned in the school environment with me as a student and immediately apply it in the work environment to see, you know, what would be successful and what wasn't. And one of the things that I noticed right away was that the kids whose families communicated more with me, that the faster they progressed towards their goals, the families that gave me feedback on what they did at home, those kiddos progressed faster than some of the other families who were less involved. And I'm not making any assumptions as to why they were or were not involved, because I've learned through the years that there's a million different reasons that the families and the support structure of the students don't always communicate with the education side. After I had my official certification, I went on to teach middle school in an urban environment. The graduation rate at that time was 33%. The eighth grade dance was treated like the prom. And when I asked why there was so much fanfare for this eighth grade dance, they said because most of them will not be in school by the time prom arises. And that just completely shocked me. There are and were a ton of barriers in this urban district where I taught. Just there were barriers, period, but to the family involvement and communication, it was amazing. There were the most obvious language barriers. Even at that point in time, we weren't yet doing well with making sure our communications were in more than one language. There were absolutely cultural differences, and as I learned more about how cultural differences affect education, that was another profound moment of things that you don't learn in the schooling, but you definitely learn when you're immersed in that environment as an actual educator. And some of those cultural differences include education, where it lies on their priority structure, how they use it, how much the parents are involved in the kids' education versus how independent they're expected to be. There were also influences that came in our urban environment where there were families that made school a varying level of priority, but based on factors such as they were going to try to find food or needed food, that parents had to work, so the middle school siblings had to stay home to take care of baby siblings. Sometimes the middle school kids were working already. Sometimes those students were becoming young parents themselves. There was gang involvement. There were less than favorable foster situations. I had one student that particular school year who was a foster child and shared openly about some of the things that she went through in class. And it was definitely, she was definitely a student that was desiring attention. She was very clownish and loud and warranted a lot of attention paid toward her. And when she was given a chance to talk, she would talk about her situation. And she talked about having like a room in the attic and, being told to go up there and stay up there, that she wasn't really allowed around the rest of the family. In a situation like that, it's going to be a total hindrance to the communication between the family and school. I apologize for the interruption. One of the side effects of cyber education, cyber student, and all the cyber is don't always have a space to get away. So you hear the dog bark or the husband come home from work. So sorry about that. But it shows that I'm a real person that has these real experiences. So as I was saying, is there are many different scenarios that create barriers to communication. In that same urban middle school, there were parents that I called every other week or so all year long and never, ever once got a response from the parents regarding the young lady that was failing and not doing well in many different ways at school. I often thought, you know, was there something else I could have done? Maybe have gotten somebody to actually go with me to go to the home and check on them. But other than that, I don't know what options I could have had. Today, though, we have so many different tools and technology, phones, applications, programs. I know that cell phones are in many instances given to families in need so they can have and use things on a cell phone much easier than they can a desktop sometimes. And if their child is a cyber student, they're relying on the devices that come from the school for them to use. So they need to wait until their student is done to be able to access it. And a lot of times, because they have had that limited exposure to it, they also do not have the same type of user knowledge and experience to make it an easy process for them. So that's a barrier. So one of the things I recently learned was to try to look for more things that were mobile app friendly to try to reach the various sectors of our community and student population. Now, it still doesn't mean you can somehow make somebody call you back, but you can kind of push information at them in many different avenues and hope that they're getting it. And hopefully one of them will give a response. Involvement and engagement and participation have, you know, different definitions, but communication is at least sharing that information from one side to the other. So if that's the best you can do, then that's the best you can do. When I did a quick Google search on their Scholar page to try to refresh my memory and look for some more up-to-date resources to share and support, there were 3,740,000 results. So I decided that would be a fabulous topic for a future podcast. So I'm going to sift through some of these and look up some of the things that I've used in the past to try to get some updated resources, information, some data for those people who want numbers and to like to hear reasons why things are effective. I'm going to try to pull up some of that information and share that in a future podcast. Another one I would like to do will be to define vernacular, to spell out acronyms and abbreviations of education in general, but also of special education, because there are so many phrases and acronyms and everything that falls under that vernacular that if you're not in the education world, can cause miscommunication right there or block communication. So what we want to do is we want to tear down all these barriers. Again, we give accommodations when we don't have the ability to tear it down, but our goal should be to tear down those barriers so that those accommodations aren't needed, but one step at a time. Another future podcast that I would like to do would be some interviews with parents. I have put out a request, and I will continue to do that to try to speak with some parents and interview them and talk to them about what they like, what works well for them, what they'd like to have help with, and also one with teachers and some of my coworker peers, and get their input. And the more input and feedback that I get, I can process it and share it on my webpage. I can share it in future podcasts. I can absolutely apply it as both an educator and a parent. So I feel like it's a pretty win-win situation there. But that's a little bit how I decided this was important to me. So all of that between the early intervention time and the time in the urban school setting was when I finished up my master's program in education, and I had to do a project at the end of it as culmination. And I did my project on, at the time, I put, I think it was family communication, family and school communication. Now it's much more broad to be family and community engagement with the school or the education setting, not just parents in school and not just communicate, but take it a next step and participate, and then take it a next step from there and involve yourself, and then finally become truly engaged in the process and the benefits of having open communication between a school or educational setting and not only family again, but community. Think about, in especially in that urban environment that I taught in, there were bodegas that the children would stop in on their way to school in the morning and get whatever they got for breakfast and say hi to people. There were people within the community that sat out on their porch and knew all the kids' names. There were different neighborhood security people that were around there in the evening. And the more we get all of those people involved, the better it is for the community as a whole, but especially these youngsters that are our future. And the future is only going to be as good as the tools and the knowledge that we equip these youngsters with. And research proves time and time again that the more involved and engaged a family is in the education, the more successful that student will be.